Welcome to Baldhead Bible Podcast, making the Bible come to life, featuring the expository preaching of Dr. John Katzian.
Who do you admire? I really admire this soccer coach called Jurgen Klopp. I love his name and the way he creates a culture of caring plus trying to win, and he just seems like a really cool guy. Growing up, I really admired, oddly enough, Steven Spielberg, because I wanted to be a film director. I really admire my wife, too. I will admit, she is amazing. What she can do with a rock, duct tape, and a knife would astound you. She is absolutely amazing. And the fact that she still hangs out with me, I'm still worried that she's going to realize, hey, you know what? John married up, but I think I married, as the song says, way, way down. But anyway, there's various people I admire in life. There's various people that you look up to. As we come to the end of the story here in Matthew, we come to the realization that ultimately all the disciples and all of us should have one person that we admire above Jurgen Klopp, above Steven Spielberg, above my wife. I should admire and want to replicate and be like Jesus Christ. We must be disciples of Jesus Christ first and foremost. That's the most important thing. And at the end of the book of Matthew, that's what it all comes down to. It says in Matthew 28, verse 16, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, Jesus, they worshipped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We must be disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the end of the story, and that's the ultimate goal in life, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, a natural question that comes up is how? How can I be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Number one, it starts with me being a disciple myself. I know that seems pretty simple. But again, like I said, we are all disciples of someone. We are all disciples sometimes of something. The dictionary defines a disciple as one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. Now, I have friends who, I'm sure you have the same ones, who get excited about something. In many ways, they become a disciple of a cause, of a political candidate, of a diet fad, of a TV show, a disciple of a restaurant, a disciple of a food. What's really interesting is when your friends become disciples of a specific celebrity. I currently know some disciples of somebody named Taylor Swift. Because if I make fun of Taylor Swift in my classrooms, man, I am come down on so fast by all the women in the room. There are a ton of women who are disciples of Taylor Swift. I also know there are some disciples, men-wise, to pick on men here. They are huge disciples of a guy named Michael Jordan. That's interesting to me. They could pick Tom Brady. They could pick a whole bunch of other people, but I am shocked how many young people today are fans of Michael Jordan? There's a guy named Jared Leto, who I'd show you a picture of, and you can look him up on Google. And he has a fan base that call themselves the Echelon. And he was, or maybe still is, the lead singer of a band called 30 Second to Mars. 30 Second to Mars, they decided to start a cult. Literally a cult. And you get online, and the Echelon, his cult, are following him, and they pay money to go listen to him speak at a retreat in Croatia, and they hang on his every word. And like I said, Taylor Swift is huge. People have described her concerts as giving you an atmosphere that is inclusive, powerfully communal, and deeply moving. That's what one fan said. That sounds like a church service. We particularly worship celebrities. And in essence, we can become disciples of a celebrity. And in that sense, borrowing that dictionary definition, we are spreading the doctrine of someone. Or maybe something. Maybe you're trying to spread the doctrine of your particular political candidate, your particular political party. Maybe you're trying to spread the doctrine of, listen to this woman's music, listen to this man's music. Hey, try this vitamin, I've got so much more energy. Try this exercise. I have a friend currently who is pushing me to go all carnivore. Just eat nothing but raw meat. Or watch this television show. You gotta go check out this movie. So in some ways, we're all spreading the doctrine of someone or something. But really, when you become a disciple, you become overly zealous. We love this particular celebrity. We love this particular cause. I have a friend who studies celebrity worship. And one of the signs that you become really a worshiper of this celebrity is if you build a shrine. And we wouldn't call them shrines in the United States, but if you have a friend who has a room totally devoted to this thing or this person, then they might be starting to fall into that zealous disciple category. I've known friends who have rooms devoted to Elvis Presley, Nolan Ryan the pitcher. I have a friend who has a whole room devoted to nothing but Star Wars Legos. Now, extreme disciples try to take on the mannerisms, right? Recently, a man died trying to look like a member of the K-pop group BTS. Another woman recently died from complications from trying to look like Kim Kardashian. You can look it up. A man paid $750,000 to look like Ken from Ken and Barbie. And then finally, just Google this. A man paid $100,000 to look like Justin Bieber. Now that's crazy, right? I love this person so much. I want to look like them. I want to act like them. But a lot of us are disciples in the sense that we don't have a room devoted to them. We're not trying to look like these influencers or these people we admire. But man, we take on their worldviews. What they say about some hot topic social issue, we're going to obey. How they decorate their rooms, where they spend their money, how they spend their time. And many of you who listen to this are Christians, and we do the same thing with Christian celebrities, right? Christian celebrity worship. I know people who are disciples of Dave Ramsey. They are trying to get totally out of debt, and it's Dave Ramsey this and Dave Ramsey that. I know people who are disciples of a woman named Beth Moore, and they read all her books, and they love everything she does. I know friends who are huge disciples of a guy named John Calvin. Now, he's dead, right? But man, Calvinism runs through their veins, and they want to talk nothing else but predestination and foreknowledge and tulips everywhere. And that's why I want to go back to the number one thing. If we're going to go out and make disciples, if we must be a disciple of Jesus, right? It starts by us being an actual disciple of Jesus Christ. We've got to be careful to not just study the words of the Bible or just study the words of famous Christians and what they say about the Bible. We must actually study the life of Jesus. We must be a disciple of Jesus. And what does Jesus say if you're going to be my disciple? It says in Luke 14, Verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. We have two things we need to do to be a disciple of Jesus. We need to deny ourselves every day, and we need to take up our cross daily. And then a third way to be a disciple of Jesus is to simply follow him. Obey what he teaches in Scripture. Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There it is. All three. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, we have to take up the cross God has asked us to bear, and we have got to follow Jesus. I think there's a big difference between being a student of Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. Because a student can hear a lot of things and maybe even read a lot of things about Jesus. And a student has a lot of head knowledge about Jesus, but a disciple, they're committed. They actually do what Jesus commands. We've got to apply what we've learned. That is what a disciple does. They actually do what Jesus commands. My fear is we have a lot of students of Jesus, but not many disciples. Disciples are people who have committed their lives to obeying the words of Jesus and practicing them in their daily lives, no matter the cost. So Jesus commands us to go forth and make disciples at the end of the book of Matthew. How are we going to do that? By, first of all, becoming a disciple of Jesus ourselves. But then secondly, by discipling others. See, remember, Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was a traitor, and he kills himself, and now he has 11 disciples. And for 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus went to various people, showing himself alive, and proving that he had risen from the dead. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. It talks all about the post-resurrection accounts of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that's Jesus' brother, then to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul writes, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. So for 40 days after his resurrection, he appeared to many people, confirming that he had risen from the dead. And then he said, hey, remember, disciples, I want you to come out to Galilee, to a specific mountain. And I want you to meet me there. And please read the book of Luke. Read the book of John. And it talks about how Jesus met with the disciples in the end. Matthew sort of skims over it because ultimately they come to this mountain, all the way out in Galilee. And what does the Bible say? When they saw him, they worshiped. They fell to their knees. And they grabbed his feet, I can imagine. And they just worshiped him, the disciples, and the people that were with him. But it also says, but some doubted. They were disciples, but is this really Jesus? I think there's something about his post-resurrection appearance that he looked different. This is a Jesus in a glorified body, in his glorified state, and I think he would have looked slightly different. But ultimately, Jesus says, meet me at that mountain. And so they come all the way north. They meet him in Galilee. They come to this mountain, and Jesus says, you've got to go, and you've got to make disciples. And so back to my original statement. We must be disciples of Jesus. How do I do that? By first of all being a disciple of Jesus myself, and then secondly by discipling others. In this passage where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. In that passage, there is only one command in the Greek, and that is to make disciples. The main focus is to make disciples. We are commanded by God to make disciples of Jesus, of a wide range of people. Are you making disciples of Jesus? Not of you, but of Jesus. And so how does Jesus want us to make disciples? First of all, by going. We've got to go. We've got to actually tell others about this man named Jesus. Here, evangelism is the focus. Tell people about him. And I'm challenging myself. Am I telling people about Jesus in my life? Or am I telling people about what I did and my ideas and my great thoughts? Am I inviting people to come and see who Jesus is? And then secondly, we also must teach. We've got to teach disciples. We have to actually start teaching them and helping them grow in their faith. American evangelicalism is really good at getting people saved. We're really good at going and telling people about Jesus, but we're not so hot at actually building disciples, at actually teaching them. One sign that we're not so good is a lot of young people leave between youth group and college. They just stop coming to church. And a lot of them never come back. And then they've done study after study that shows the worldviews of a lot of Christians aren't a whole lot different from the world. There's not a whole lot of difference between the way we think about issues like abortion, like some hot topic social issue. There's very few Christians who actually think biblically. One study found that only 44% of this evangelical group actually prayed, read scripture, or participated in a weekly study group. Another 33% of that same group said they seldom or never did. They show up on Sunday, they enjoy the worship, they enjoy the sermon, and that's it. I just want to remind you guys of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship." Verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." We go, and now we've got to teach them. Now, how do we teach to build disciples? It starts with Scripture. We need to teach the Bible, not opinions. You need to find men who preach through the Bible expositorily, verse by verse, not just using passages as a springboard into their favorite topic. We've got to teach Scripture and the whole counsel of God, the New Testament, and the Old Testament. That's what we've got to do to build disciples. So we've got to go. We've got to teach. But thirdly, if we're going to build disciples, we've got to baptize. Now notice here, baptism is a requirement. And baptism here, the word itself means a form of the word immersion. Okay? You should be immersed in water. And also, it seems to me you should know what you're doing. He wants you to go, get people saved, teach them, and now we've got to baptize them. So we want adult believers baptism, immersed in water from head to toe. Now why? Simply because Jesus commands it. Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to make disciples, you've got to get them saved. You've got to teach them. And then they've got to be willing to be baptized. And there's a whole discussion here. But simply put, baptism, according to the book of Matthew here, it's an outward expression of an inward discipleship. It's saying, I am a disciple of Jesus, and I want the world to know, therefore, please publicly baptize me. So that my friends can see it, my family can see it. I have heard of stories where people have been baptized in countries that are hostile to the gospel, and it costs them so much to be publicly baptized. I want to encourage you. If you haven't been baptized yet, you need to, because first and foremost, it's a command. Jesus himself commanded it. Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God commands you, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, to be baptized. Why? Because he wants you to publicly express your discipleship to the world. And you know what? If you're not willing to be baptized, the scary thing is this. Maybe you're not a disciple. If I got baptized, then my parents might complain because I got sprinkled as a baby. And if I go get baptized now, they'll think it's weird and I'll get a whole bunch of flack from my family. Are you more a disciple of your family? Or are you going to be a disciple of Jesus? If I go get baptized, then my friends might think I am weird. I like being a secret disciple, do you? Are you truly a disciple of Jesus, or is it all fake? Because Jesus, the person you claim to follow, says, if you're going to be a disciple of me, you've got to be saved, study my words in Scripture, study what Scripture says, the Old Testament and the New Testament, then I want you to be publicly baptized, because I want you to be brave enough to say in front of the whole world, I have been baptized because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. People sometimes ask me, hey, what religion are you? I say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, who currently finds the best expression of that discipleship to be the way the Baptist faith interprets and lives out Scripture. But first and foremost, I want everybody to know I am a disciple of Jesus. I'm not a Baptist. No, I am a disciple of Jesus first and foremost. I want people to know I'm not a disciple of the Baptists. I'm not a disciple of Spurgeon. I'm not a disciple of John Calvin. I'm not a disciple of Billy Graham. No. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so as we come to the end of the book of Matthew, I want you to think about a couple things. Number one, have you been baptized? Are you truly following what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus? He expects you to be publicly baptized. Number two, are you truly a disciple of Jesus? Or are you more a disciple of a cause or some human person or some human denomination? Thirdly, do I actually identify with Jesus? Or am I more intrigued by the history of the church? Or I love all the rituals, but I don't want to actually obey what it says in Scripture, but oh, I grew up in this church. Yeah, you're a disciple of that church. You're not a disciple of Jesus. Fourthly, I think this is important. Am I discipling anyone? Sometimes we like to use the word mentoring. Am I mentoring anyone? Someone said to me years ago, you should find someone to mentor you, and you should be mentoring someone. I'd like to add, I am a disciple of Jesus. Jesus is discipling me every day through his word. Am I discipling anyone? I would encourage you, stop inviting people to church and start offering Bible studies with people. Stop saying, hey, come to this event at my church. No, say, hey, have you thought about the words of Jesus? Can I start a Bible study with you? Let's read together. That's making disciples. That's the church, being the church outside the walls. Make friends, make disciples. Are you discipling, mentoring anyone? I'd like you to look around and who is following you? There is somebody who looks up to you. There is somebody who admires you. God has brought somebody into your life that you could disciple. Is there anybody who is impressed with you and what you do? And could you turn around and say, you know what? I want to start discipling you. They may be saved and you can disciple them and to grow in Christ. Or it may be an unsaved person who you could lead to the Lord and then begin to disciple. But start to look around at your life. Who has God brought into your life? Disciple them. And then finally, I'd like you to think about, how can I go back to my church to help build disciples? How can I encourage my church to be a disciple-making place rather than just a salvation culture, just a soul-winning culture, just a, hey, let's just get them saved type culture. And then once we get them saved, yeah, I don't really know what to do with you. The Bible teaches to go, win, right? Baptize and teach. I would encourage you, how can I go back to my church and help to make it a disciple-making church? Could I offer to start a class? Could I begin to work through books of the Bible to teach the whole counsel of God? Could I find someone in my Sunday school class who, me and him together, we'd like to start a Bible study to help disciple each other and mentor others? Is there a young person I could take under my wing? Could I get involved with the youth group to help teach and disciple the next generation? I'd love you to end this whole look at the book of Matthew to think about, how can I help my church to be a disciple-making community? Jesus said, go, baptize, and teach. If you do those three things, you will be making disciples. It's called the Great Commission. That call to make disciples that Jesus gave the original disciples all the way back then is the call for us today. May we be true to God's call.
Thank you for listening to Baldhead Bible Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. You can comment on our Facebook page or email us at baldheadbible@gmail.com. If you would like to support this podcast, please check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/baldheadbible. Baldhead Bible Podcast, making the Bible come to life. New episodes added every week.